This is How to Die Alone. Hey guys, it's the How to Die Alone podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Stephen Henry. With me, as always, is Matt Williams.
Matt Williams.
And David Wayne.
Yeah, the boys!
Okay, and our other... We got a guest today. We got Mr. Matt Walker.
Yeah, boy.
There it is. Yeah, there's going to be a lot of sproings and like...
I'm saving so much on soundboards.
Yeah.
Michael Winslow, Matt Walker.
Hey, right. Guys.
Same thing.
Yeah, Matt Walker's here.
Hello.
Hey.
I've been looking forward to this one, to be completely honest.
Matt against Matt.
Yeah.
Head to head.
Matt on Matt.
Yeah.
Matt W on Matt W.
And they're facing each other, so they're going to have a stare off in a minute.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you don't know where I'm looking.
This is going to devolve. It's going to devolve into a thumb war easily.
Thumb war. Yeah, that's the extent of it, though.
You want to go?
Oh, my God.
We can play tic-tac-toe right now.
A lot of cats. I got some lawn darts in my closet.
Do you?
No, I don't.
Oh.
Yeah, no, I actually looked it up. Like, it's illegal to have lawn darts, and that started in 1988.
I told you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know why I'm fascinated by it, but, like, yeah, lawn darts were, they were outed.
I think too many people were, like, drunkenly playing, and they're just like, boink!
Yeah.
And then they're dead.
Yeah. Like, there's like, time for 6-foot lawn dart. You know?
That's a fucked up luau, man.
Yeah.
The guy's just got it dangling out of his head. He's like, does anyone else hear a plane landing?
Dave's not the only thing getting stuck around here.
Hey, you barbecuing almonds?
I think I'm going to pass out.
On almonds.
Yeah. I think I'm going to take a nap on your lawn.
Don't you dare go to sleep on me.
Yeah. Was it like, you going to have a barbecue this year? No, too many people died.
The lawn's a memorial.
Yeah.
Like, we got rid of the lawn darts and went with bolo.
It's where Uncle Jerry took one in the brain.
Just the outline of like chicken wings. Like outline the body with scraps of leftover chicken wing bones. Right there, that's where Tom died.
Yeah, exactly. I wonder how many times the phrase, watch me thread this needle, happened before someone got
it. Lands on some guy's shin.
Yeah.
God damn it, Jared!
Just some stupid kid. I'm going to catch it. Probably should. Oh.
With my mouth. I'm going to catch it in my teeth.
And yeah, really. Like, it's like, I saw that guy catch a bullet. Why can't I do it with a lawn dart?
A lawn dart tooth, Tony.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
He's a cool guy.
Lawn dart tooth Tony?
I think that's how girls get
It's a character from Snatch. Bullet tooth Tony?
Yeah.
I think it's how girls get their cheeks pierced is with lawn darts. They just stand there. It comes in from the side and hits them right and goes through both, right? You ever seen those where they get like...
Are the darts that long or the women just have really small mouths?
They call it the dart maneuver whenever they do that.
Dart maneuver.
The dart maneuver.
Yeah, you order a dart maneuver at Claire's.
You get two free balls or whatever.
Yeah, they
earrings.
Whatever they're called. They put their heel on your forehead so you don't move.
Oh my God!
You are going to be so fucking hot after this. Just jam it through their face.
Hey guys, welcome to How to Die Alone.
All the boys want extra holes.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
Comedy.
No,
that's comedy.
How is that?
What?
I was just playing wiffle ball earlier today.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Really?
Trying to get a big tournament happening on Sundays.
Well, like, go ahead.
Was it comedy? No, it was wiffle ball.
I'm sure it was comedic.
That's not funny.
Have you seen Blitzball? The new generation of wiffle ball?
Wait, Blitzball? You talking about the thing from Final Fantasy X?
No. They have like a new ball, so you can throw like super curvy curve balls.
Oh, I've seen those. And it like dips up and down and all over the place.
That might be what we have, but it was great. We bought it yesterday, and like three swings, and the ball's like breaking. So it's all taped up already.
Oh yeah, perfect.
You gotta hate when everyone's breaking their balls.
Yeah. Oh, it breaking my balls.
Because you didn't get the official wiffle ball. ball.
The championship version.
Yeah. Well, what color was
is this
ball?
Tournament legal?
Well, it's actually endorsed by the MLB. International it's got Wiffle the ball MLB league. Logo on it, which was like, what the hell?
What do they know about Wiffle ball?
Exactly. That's They're true. Hitting old school balls.
That's true. It's not MLWB.
It'd be like getting a mini golf club from the PGA. It's like, that's not what you do.
Yeah.
Like, you don't specialize in putters?
Yeah, this is a really good shovel. So was it a white ball, or was it like orange with red on it, or what?
No, it's the white. It's like half. I think it was the one you're actually talking about. It's got half wiffle.
Yeah.
Bottom half is like solid.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But okay. It's all plastic, so. But
is there really a bottom part when you're throwing it, though? Or?
Well, yeah. I'm thinking about it placed on a table. Which I mean, you
still
don't
life
normally
with wiffle
do.
Ball.
Yeah.
Wiffle table ball.
Yeah.
Everyone remembers that Dali painting, Still Life with Wiffle Ball.
It's one of his best.
Love it.
There's a rubber chicken on the table, too.
So how does that work? When you play wiffle ball, can you peg people with it and they're out?
Wait, we're like, normally I think you can't. It's like kickball, kind of. Yeah, or you treat it like kickball.
Are you pegging people, Matt?
No. I'm being pegged when I run the bases.
Oh, yeah.
That's awkward.
I've never heard
probably
of
really slow.
So if you peg somebody's girlfriend, are you wiffle cucking them?
Wiffle cuck. We've gone off the rails already.
Just every base.
No, I was excited because I don't know Matt that well.
Like, yeah,
I've
likewise.
Only seen you at Iberian a few times.
Matt Walker.
Yeah, Matt Walker. Well, I don't know Matt Williams either, to be honest. No.
Nobody
Matt
knows.
Walker, it's like the only thing I do know is that you may or may not have a butt plug in. Is that a
You'll
thing?
Never know.
Okay.
Unless.
Sorry, we like to burn material. That's all. So.
Yeah. I mean, one day I'll show everybody.
You'll all see.
Yeah.
I'm like, wow, he's been playing a lot of wiffle ball because he's been getting pegged quite frequently on that. Once you show it. Very red. No, I'm sorry.
You're not wrong.
Yeah.
Looking like a chimp ass. Together? How many people did you get together for wiffle ball?
We got six this day, but everybody's going to come out this next week. So
what do you mean everybody?
Like, I sent a message out to like 50 people, and they're all like, can't do this Sunday, next Sunday. So we're going to have like five games. It's going to be like insane if you guys are ever interested.
Where do you play at?
Lassen Clark down in St. Pete.
You guys running brackets?
Not yet, but here's... I made it so I said there are no monetary wagers. So it leaves the floor open for any other type of wager to
happen.
Does
that include Bitcoin?
Oh, shit. Does that... Nah, that's...
I don't know about cryptocurrency.
Oh, if they want to bet cryptocurrency, by all means.
Chuck E. Cheese tokens on the table.
I feel like if anyone's betting cryptocurrency, it would be on Wiffle Ball. Like, I don't know why.
I bet 0.01 bitcoins. We're going to win.
I'm going to strike you out.
Just lightly stroking.
It's a lot of bets. Yeah. I'm going to strike you out for this much bitcoin. I'm going to strike you out. God damn, I lost all my bitcoin.
Only had three at bats.
Yeah, look at this dude limping in with only 0.2 bitcoin.
Fucking amateur.
How much are those worth now?
I have no idea. They change every minute. Tanked.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
There were like 2,000 per, I think, for a while, and then now it's like 50 cents.
It'll
be like $9.50.
It was almost like a grand. It was almost like a grand pyramid scheme where, like, if you got in early, you could collect it all, and then I shouldn't say pyramid scheme, but I guess an investment. And then once it got really high, everyone's like, "All right, all the people that got in early are like, well, we're going to take all your money," and then they just get out.
You really had to be in one of those like Bitcoin marketplaces where the government didn't shut it down and seize all the bitcoins.
Yeah. I saw a documentary about it on like in New York. They had like the
first bank. Had a documentary about it.
Oh,
of course
yeah.
they did.
Are you kidding me? There's like 1,000 documentaries.
There's one in New York City.
The documentary about the making of documentary.
Oh, really?
Yeah. In Manhattan, they had like one that got shut down. It was like their own like Wall Street, I guess, but for Bitcoin. Is that? Yeah. Am I saying that right? I don't know.
Wait,
you guys
what?
Seen it?
Wall Street for.
Well, they have. Well, they have like their own. No, it's like they have their own currency checker to see like how much it's worth and drop. In the market and all that.
Oh, God, that's
I could
weird.
Be wrong, but
we are often wrong. It's like if anybody is fact checking this, like they died long ago.
Yeah,
wouldn't you love to be the Bitcoin Gordon Gecko?
There's
someone fucking buy sell, just snorting coke. We need more bitcoins.
You know, there's someone out there that is though. That's the thing.
Bitcoin miner.
I feel like if you're gonna do that, you have
to
also
like Sierra Leone or whatever.
I feel like you have to hedge your bets and also sell the graphics cards.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like,
sides.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you guys are going to need these to get these. I control both.
Right.
You're just going to, like, fucking, what was it called? I don't remember.
All right.
IG Farva. You're going to IG Farva that shit.
I don't want an IG Farva.
Well,
does it come with a liter of cola?
Yes. Yeah. IG Farva was a company that sold, during World War II, they sold like
I didn't know
shit
it.
To both sides of the war. They showed America and to
Instagram
Germany.
Since World War II is what you're telling me.
Yeah.
Instagram Farva.
Character from Super Troopers.
Exactly.
He's a monster.
I'd love to see his
psycho.
Act.
Your shenanigans are destroying the economy.
Say shenanigans one more time.
Put soap in your coffee.
What?
God damn it, Farva.
I was likening...
Babies
oh,
Day
man.
Out?
No. Well, that's woo. That's a that's another topic. But I was likening... Babies Day Out has its own economy in a lot of ways. All right, we can talk about it.
Babies
Day
Out.
We
can talk about Babies Day Out.
You want to talk about it? We'll talk about it.
We'll talk
BBDA?
BDO, baby.
BDO.
BDO.
Get it at Blockbuster BDO.
So I haven't seen it. So what is this? Just for people who haven't seen it. All right,
so I'm going to lay the plot out there. Right. I'm not, you know, it's not going to be like a full, you know, because I want you to watch it, you know.
Yeah.
And if I gave you a full one, you'd be like, I don't got to watch it no more.
You're going to leave some cliffhangers for us.
Exactly.
Yeah, there's going to be no full release on
BBC. Does he get his diaper changed or not? Find out.
Oh, shit.
I'm going to, he does.
Oh,
he does.
Spoiler alert. Yeah.
So it starts off, these bumbling three dudes want to steal
Wait,
a baby.
Three dudes? That's crazy.
Yeah.
I've seen this. This is three men and a baby. I've seen this movie.
Yeah. Tom Selleck, was he in that?
No.
Tom Selleck?
No.
I thought he was.
No.
No, he's in another
Tom
one
Sizemore?
That's like baby
the guy
and
from
the guy.
Cheers. He's the guy from Cheers, isn't it?
Steve Guttenberg?
No, the main guy.
Ted Danson?
Ted Danson's in it, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. And there's a ghost in the background and all this shit.
There's a ghost?
Yeah, there's a ghost boy in the movie. I'm not kidding.
Oh,
I'll show you the clip afterwards.
Wait, yeah, so, I know what you're talking about.
So you're saying the baby was dead the entire time?
No, it's in the background, like in the curtains. It's creepy as shit.
Oh, okay.
It's what? Three men and Rosemary's Baby.
Yeah.
All right,
sorry.
No. I appreciate tangents. So these three bumbling guys, they...
Were they bees?
They were, yeah.
Jesus.
Buzz, buzz, buzz. They're like, we want to kidnap a baby. And they pick the baby. They don't just like, let's kidnap a baby. It's a high-class baby.
A high-class baby?
Yeah.
It has a top hat and a monocle?
Yeah, Richard Gere, you know, bought it some jewelry, closed the thing.
He breastfeeds with a with pinky out.
Yeah. High-class baby, baby binky. Baby Binky has a big photo shoot.
Okay.
Actually does. I don't get that part. But big photo shoot. They pose as the photographers. Take the photos. They steal the baby when the nanny walks out. You know, high class baby has high class parents.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah.
That's how it works.
Nanny.
You know, high class baby. Poor parents is a weird matchup.
Right.
But anyway, they capture the baby. They kidnap the baby.
Capture the baby.
And they're off.
They put it in a cage.
Wild, feral baby.
Yeah.
Right. You go to Walmart, you've seen a lot of those. What, the just, ones you on? Just grab a shopping cart and keep walking. Just leave the purse on the ground. Give me this goddamn baby.
Sell this for parts.
Exactly. Sell parts this bitch out, dude.
Probably Bitcoin, how Bitcoin got started.
How many Bitcoins is a baby kidney worth?
Baby Bitcoin Binkies.
So baby Binkies taken. All right. I know you're thinking Liam Neeson's on his way. No, they bring him to their apartment, I guess. I don't know why that's important, but they bring him to the apartment.
The baby starts trashing it as soon as he gets in there. What is this fucking place? Yeah. Goddamn sweatshop water in here. What is this shit?
The baby gets out. No, no, basically, they're like, what are we going to do with the baby? We send a ransom note. We're going to hang out with the baby for a couple of weeks or whatever. How long have it? A couple of weeks. However long it takes for the baby to get taken back.
Okay.
What do you mean ransomed?
Yeah. They ransom the baby. And they're like, oh, no. Police get involved, whatever, on that end. And then into the apartment, bumbling guys, what do you do with the baby? It's like, well, I'm going to read the baby a story. Guy starts reading the story, falls asleep. Baby climbs out fire escape window, somehow makes it down. I'm a little fuzzy on how he makes it down, but makes it down. I'm sure he's climbing on roofs, gets in an elevator in some way.
Parkour.
Yeah.
Parkour baby.
Yeah. Gets out, goes on this wild adventure that is plotted out in this baby book that the nanny always reads to him called Baby Stay Out.
Oh. See, that's why you can't introduce super kids meta to fiction.
Exactly.
Meta.
Imagine if he read Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, exactly. The only thing you can introduce kids to, like, is the Bible.
Into a volcano.
Yeah. Yeah. It'd be like riding pigeons.
But it's always like he sees something from the book. It's like, oh, zoo, I want to go there. Or, oh, construction, I want to go there. And then these bumbling guys always going around trying to capture that baby.
Meatpacking plant. I want to go there.
Ooh. Yeah. It's a very progressive baby.
See, that's why Lord of the Rings, he's like, ooh, a ring.
I'm going to fall down the volcano. Yeah.
So he's just traveling around because he recognizes things from the book that gets read to him?
Yeah, okay. And then it's like he's going on his little adventure.
What
these
I love.
These guys are just chasing him.
Is that the baby has memory.
Yeah.
Like, he's got amazing memory and visual acuity.
Yeah, which is like, babies don't have object permanence. Right. So
they,
like,
they don't have either of those things. Yeah. He's just going to be like, I'm going to wander into these shapes.
Yeah. These shapes and blurs.
Triangle. Just like walks.
There's something pinkish and greenish that way I'm heading.
And I guess I should mention, he's like three, maybe.
Well, I mean, I don't know if he knew.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So it's not like a baby. Like,
he's not like...
It's more like toddlers there.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. Like, but you see, rich babies are better than poor babies.
That's
so
true.
He's completely fine. He's got all the tools.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. It's really a metaphor.
Like rich babies develop faster.
Proletariat bourgeoisie kind of thing.
Yeah.
Going
well,
on.
No, it sounds like a. No, it sounds like a kids movie, like a Disney or something made it.
Disney did not make it. It's not a kids movie.
Oh, okay,
it's a very.
Is it dark?
Dare you?
It's.
Do you?
No, it's not.
Do you find yourself?
That's
it's
what I'm saying.
Kids
so
movie. It's
so
a
it's
kids
a kids movie.
Movie,
but the way you're like, so I'm like, it. They're glorifying, like, not glorifying, but like they're showing a kid getting kidnapped, and then about having just his bumbling adventures.
Yeah,
so
it
they're
teaches...
making it playful, so kids now want to get kidnapped,
yeah,
so they can go to the zoo for free.
Yeah, we'll see.
Well,
that movie?
And he got to get up close and personal with the gorilla. That's the whole thing. I won't spoil that for you. All that's right. A fun.
I've
time.
Seen that one on the internet.
You what?
They shot the gorilla.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Harambe. Harambe.
The end of the movie, and I'll spoil this, a big thing. Every gorilla in this movie has been harmed.
Nice. Nice.
Yeah, have you ever seen Schindler's List?
It's like they
that,
made it real.
But for gorillas.
It's like, yeah. Even the Italian gym rat gorilla, you got taken out.
Honestly, it was every cut that they had from the gorilla to someone, they had to get a new gorilla. Because
like,
it got incensed.
So they killed
it,
yeah.
It's like,
yeah. It's like what are they talking about on another podcast? They were saying how Milo and Otis... You ever
yeah,
seen that old
they
one? They killed
like
so many kids, or dogs.
Dogs and cats. Sorry.
Dogs and cats.
Well, because
yeah.
They kept sending the cat over the waterfall. That's the best part.
Oh, yeah. Oh my God.
They're like, we got to get one that's going to land. Well, Fluffy's down. Get Fluffy 2. And then Fluffy 2 falls over.
We are running way over budget. Are we not getting bulk rate on these cats?
Yeah. Just go to a shelter.
I need a gross of tabbies.
All
tabbies.
Your cats.
Yeah. I need a gross of tabbies.
Oh, you don't even need tabbies. You just paint them.
Oh, my God.
Just Krylon paint
on I'm saving money. Yeah, dude.
They're like, it's going to die anyway.
Exactly.
He's like, he's in the waterfall scene.
Yeah, they can't tell. It's a wide angle shot.
Oh, my God.
Cat's just coughing as you're spray painting it.
Well, like what you're saying, like it was glorifying kidnapping babies. Like Blank Check, I was like, remember that movie?
Oh, Blank Check.
Yeah. Like where he's
instilling capitalism
check
for you.
Yeah, he cashed a check for $1 million, got away with it, and I was like, I would love that.
Yeah.
Please give me a blank check so I can ruin your life. Yeah.
I really liked Milk Money. That was my favorite. I think we talked about it before, but I love it.
That's a great movie.
Is that a Disney original?
No,
it's definitely not. It's these kids go into a city and buy a hooker.
Yeah, their money to buy a hooker, and it's like, what are you going to do, kids?
Ed Harris is the dad. He's like, he's all bumbling around. It's like, dude, you're a badass. Stop acting like this dopey dad. You know what's going on.
They're like, I just can't wait to feel a boob. It's like, dude, it's so much more than that.
Yeah.
You don't need to buy a prostitute for that. You're a kid. Just accidentally graze some.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Four sides of a kid.
Sorry, man. I managed to trip and jump at the same time into your breasts.
Listen, all we got to do is get a wiffle ball game together.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. But anyway, Baby's Day Out. It's a wonderful film, and I won't tell you whether or not the ransom is paid.
Okay.
That's what I'm going to leave you off on. Right, yeah.
That's the climax.
Yeah.
I like those movies where you root for the bad guy a little bit.
That's
like,
what I'm saying. I kind of do at this point because
Baby's a rich elitist
prick. So at this point, it's like, fuck that kid. I want these guys to get paid.
I felt like that with Home Alone, too. I'm like,
exactly.
Get in there and do whatever you're going to do to that kid. Like, just,
yeah.
Oh, did you see
before Michael Jackson does? Get in there, Joe Pesci.
Did you see that MythBusters where they did like the pranks from Home Alone? Well, they did the paint can one. They're like, he would have been dead.
Oh yeah, it would kill you. Maybe yeah, cerebral hemorrhage or something.
Yeah.
Or the one where like, his head
ears are bleeding,
yeah. Where his head gets set on fire.
Yeah. Where he like grabs that the doorknob.
And my favorite one is where Joe Pesci steps on that nail that's like this big.
I know that was Daniel Stern.
Yeah. When he's walking up the basement
and then he just falls.
And then he just goes, shh, and it goes.
Yeah, you hear it
all the way, all the way down. And then he's just like, it's like no, you would start stepping on that and be
back.
Like,
yeah, it lands on his back, probably break his spine or something, and it's and he just gets up like, ooh, let me shake that off.
The whole movie is just a live action cartoon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's pretty much Sylvester and Tweety.
There's no granny to hit either of them with rolling pins.
Exactly.
Or
Wile E. Coyote and Roadrunner just chasing each other.
Tom and Jerry.
Yep.
I had a great idea of the Home Alone kid, like no one actually ends up breaking in, so all of his family gets into all of his traps.
Or it's the mailman.
Yeah, and it's like, hey, yeah.
God damn McAllister house.
He's like, it's snowing out. Let me put this present on the inside the front, you know, door, and then the fire just burns his head. Catches like that blue Russian hat that they always wear on fire.
This is a box of nails that like slingshots into his face.
Yeah.
I just love the idea that he was wrong. Nobody's trying to break in.
Yeah. Is this a schizophrenic?
Yeah, he's just paranoid. He's just
ooh, and he steps
closet
on the Christmas bulb.
He never had parents. He's just always been in the house alone.
Yeah, somehow he's in a 9-bedroom house.
He just broke in one day.
That was always that meme. It's like
the cops come in, he's just talking to the dial tone.
Yeah. There was like that Facebook meme. They're like, what the hell did Kevin's dad do for a living? He's got this huge house. He's paying for all them to go to Europe and shit.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, he's got like aunts and uncles flying in first to Chicago and then flying to fucking France or wherever the hell they go. And
yeah, they
like,
went to France.
Where the hell
reason
did this guy, what did he do for a living?
I vaguely remember Bitcoin. At some point they were at like a gator farm or something.
Gator farm?
Yeah. In Home Alone. It's either Home Alone or Home Alone
like
2.
Nine gator farms.
That might have been the third one where Kevin McAllister's, or it's
a different kid.
One. Yeah. Yeah, it's a different kid.
Yeah. I enjoyed Home Alone 3.
I think more movies need
kids.
Had
the kid from Liar Liar in it.
I was just thinking, like, Baby's Day Out 1 is actually, or like, what was it?
Wait a minute, there's a sequel?
No, Home Alone 1 is actually Baby's Day Out 2.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
It's a prequel and a sequel. Yeah.
Matt Walker took off his
sunglasses. Dude, yeah, that got dark, dude. Too looking deep. Yeah. I like it. Not dark, but deep. I like it. Yeah.
Deep and dark.
Yeah.
That's how I like it.
Is it?
And actually, Baby's Day Out, there were no burglars. The baby was his own burglar.
Yeah, he was just kidnapped, that's all.
Kidnapped himself to get ransom money to invest in Bitcoin.
See, that's what you have to do to become free. You have to ransom yourself.
I'm going to be right back.
They're like, why is this written in crayon? He kidnapped himself.
I can get you a tow by 3 p.m.
His R's are backwards. I know this handwriting.
Get you any baby toe.
He's been hiding in the closet the whole time.
Baby toe with nail polish. Yay.
Oh, you guys, Big Lebowski. Yeah. You want a toe? I can get you a toe.
I'm finishing my coffee. Calmer than you, dude.
That would be so good.
I had to watch it like 3 times in order to get the full breadth of like what was actually going on, because lots of ins out, lots of outs, dude.
Yeah.
That's how I feel like Baby's Day Out. Kind
of. It's like Napoleon Dynamite. The first time you see it, you're like, what the fuck? And then like the second time, you're like, I get it.
Yeah. Like he ends up in a veteran's home, like the baby. And it's like,
circle of life.
It's,
boom.
It's something, you know.
Depicted right there.
Oh, yeah. He lays on the tube to someone's oxygen tank.
Here's the thing. Have you ever seen it sober, though? I feel like you have to be like really high to see this movie, and then you're like, you'll get so many different levels.
The babies did.
Oh, yeah.
It's the layers are there.
The layers.
I wonder if there was a guy that just like churned this out, and he was like, it's all going to be worth it when I get this scene put in there.
The last keystroke on the typewriter, he's like, I'm done.
Yeah.
Got a masterpiece, gentlemen. Yeah. Fade to nobody's black. There.
Period. Finally, I can go play wiffle ball with my friends.
Yes, I wrote Baby's Day Out.
Yeah, I feel like he just like rushed it, you know what I mean? Just put out this, and then people, it became like a niche thing where people were like, dude, we're going to like, oh my God, dissect the movie. He's like, dude, I was fucking rolling on acid the whole time. I fucking wrote that. The studio just wanted a movie, so I was like, well, let's just give him one. It took him like a day.
He's like, this is so good. This is so good. I'm going to need to go outside for a minute. His girlfriend just sees him like sucking a lollipop. It's like, I'm trying to quit smoking. Just let me have this.
I want to look up who directed that movie. I actually don't know.
Harvey Weinstein. He produced it, sorry. He wouldn't direct it.
Sandusky.
It might be.
Yeah, it might be. Studio.
Baby's Day Out. Full cast and crew. Baby?
What was the baby's
name? I just hold on the bio for it real quick. Baby Bink couldn't ask for more. He has adoring, if somewhat sickly, sweet parents. He lives in a huge mansion, and he's just about to appear in the social pages of the paper. Unfortunately, that's where it's done.
It's a dark turn.
Not everyone in the world is as nice as Baby Bink's parents, especially the three enterprising kidnappers who pretend to be photographers from the newspaper. Successfully kidnapping Baby Bink, they have a harder time keeping hold of the rascal, who not only keeps one step ahead of them, but seems to be more than a little bit smarter than the three bumbling criminals.
Bumbling,
that
yeah.
That's what I used.
You did use that. Did you write that?
Yeah. Listen, I love this movie. All right, now how do I
Did you direct it?
Directed by me. No, it's actually a huge star-studded cast. It's like every people that I know. People that
Christy
I know.
Alley and John Travolta are in it. Oh, let's look who's talking.
Joe Mantegna.
I know you're talking about
him. Mantegna.
From Searching for Bobby Fischer.
Yeah, yeah.
Joe Mantegna.
Joe Pantoli. He was the guy in The Matrix who liked the steak.
Yep.
He's deep awesome. Cut.
Yeah, deep cut, yeah. Baby.
Is he one of the bumbling idiots?
He is.
I know The Matrix. Sure. Brian Haley.
Brian Haley is... Oh, you've seen him before. I can't think of what he's in now.
The one non-Italian.
He's in filmography known for Gran Torino, Baby's Day Out.
They're like, oh, that's a second fucking credit? They're like, we're going to need some politically correct villains. Can you get some Dirty Guineas in here? And I'm like, exactly, I'll be in next.
Pasta for Julie.
Well, you know that
what
guy,
can we
right?
do with this baby? Like, dude,
that guy?
They're Italian.
Do you recognize him?
No.
You know these Italians.
Brian Haley. All right,
these Italians are going to slow roast that goddamn thing and make a nice bolognese sauce out of it.
They're like, Central Casting, can you get some pasta twirlers down here?
Opa.
They're making their own pasta.
Opa's Greek, and that's goddamn Greek,
I don't care. Now find a man that can play the accordion.
Giuseppe, a little monkey, to play the accordion.
Oh, I didn't see who directed it.
Yeah, it was
the whole reason.
That was the whole reason. I got lost in the cast.
Dude, that fucking bio just swept you away.
Patrick Reed Johnson, and it was written by John Hughes, who's actually a pretty big name.
I know who John Hughes is. That's crazy.
I've heard of John Hughes.
What is From John Breakfast Hughes? Club to that.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
Hey. All right. Yeah.
Yep. Well,
he writes a lot of coming-of-age movies.
And that's what Baby's Day Out was.
Baby's Day Out is coming of age. That kid grew up more in that day than he did his whole fucking life.
Probably.
All 2 years of it.
3 years.
3 years, sorry. Yeah.
Toddler's Day Out.
He's addicted to math now.
Yeah, but honestly, in that bio, I'm so rooting for the three bumbling idiots.
That's what I'm saying.
I know.
Because they paint this picture of this like little kid. He's getting his photo shoot done for the newspaper.
I feel bad for these guys.
But it makes them look like idiots because, you know, they're outsmarted by a three-year-old.
Yeah.
That kind of upsets me, too.
God,
there's a lot of emotional roller coaster in this movie. I need to watch it.
When that baby escapes out the window and that guy gets reamed out by the head guy, Joe Mantegna, whatever.
Yeah.
Do you think that whole movie wouldn't have happened if Amber Alerts existed?
No.
Or it would just been a whole bunch of people looking at their phone like, I'm not going to look for this fucking kid.
Well, yeah, he's rich, so it probably went out like instantly.
Yeah. Well, was the baby white?
Oh, for sure. Unless it's a progressive movie.
Hot takes.
He's not hailing cabs. He's like ordering Ubers and shit.
I don't think there was a single black person in this movie. Actually, now that I'm thinking about it.
It was a John Hughes movie.
Yeah.
Not even Stacey Dash like makes an appearance in there.
Stacey Dash.
Like extras. I don't think there were black extras.
Black extras.
There's probably some black crew.
Yeah, listen, I don't
know. The boom man, like, they're like, cut, like, man, get this fucking white baby out of here. Motherfucker, run around. Hey, this criminal, who wrote this fucking movie?
Key grip Mashandi Vias.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I'd be so furious filming this thing. I'd be like, really? The whole time, I'd be so mad. I'm like, why can't they capture the baby?
They're like, no, you can keep us out of your dumbass cracker movie.
Like, I can take one decent step is like 5 steps for this child. And like, is there a chase scene like goddamn horror film?
See, the only chase scene there is they're crossing traffic and the baby just somehow manages not to get hit by anything.
I'm getting so frustrated now.
Babies are better at technology. Like, he'd been playing Frogger from day one.
Yeah.
It would be like, I'm a baby, I'm just sitting here, and the cars would go over it. And it's like, that wouldn't happen. That baby would get green.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
And then the fact that nobody stops.
Yeah, right?
How many babies were used in that scene?
Yeah. It's Milo and Otis crossing the street. Oh, God.
We need more kids.
Come, we need another baby.
Go down to the shelter. No, you can paint it. Yeah.
Just shave their heads, all of them. Girls, boys, I don't care.
Put it in an armadillo shell.
It has to be real.
You know, those bubbles. Just put it like in those bubbles, like bubble boys, like bouncing off fucking traffic.
Like the hamster ball?
Is that the hamster ball.
No, it is absurd the way that they do cuts on the baby.
Oh, that's absurd.
They did cuts on the baby?
The way they do cuts on it is it's like, hey, the baby's getting away. And it's like, oh, it's already in that building. It's like, damn, that's a fast baby. It's like,
I thought you meant they were cutting the baby.
I mean, that was fun, too.
We need this ransom.
I don't know what that was.
Illuminati, dude. You got to make sacrifices if you want to be in.
That's what I heard.
Sacrifice that baby.
I wonder how many people got in by like sacrificing their baby, like 10, 12, 15.
Easily.
Some people are like, I don't even want in, but can we just kill this baby?
I mean, I didn't want it. Oh, that's so bad. Speaking of comedy.
Is it a comedy?
No, it's a drama.
It's sci-fi.
I'm going to be watching it laughing probably the whole time.
Oh, no, it's actually really funny because those bumbling guys are actually really good actors.
Oh, yeah.
Comedic actors.
So I guess the word bumbling It's such a great word, but like
it makes them sound so harmless.
Like, right. they kidnap a baby.
But it's like, yeah, they're just goofing.
Yeah. They spent 6 years preparing this plan, but they couldn't figure out what to do once they got it. They're like, we should have thought about post.
They planned for 3 years before the kid.
That's what I mean, yeah. 6 years. We're going to steal a rich baby in 6 years. I don't know who it's going to be.
That's like cult level. It's like 3 years from today.
Yeah, but that's all they plan. So there will be a baby. Once they take it, they don't know what to do with it. They're like, what do we do with this kid? I've never, you know, I'm a 38-year-old, 40-year-old man. I've never seen anyone handle a child. So what do I do?
Yeah. The one guy's like, so what do you want to do, baby? And it's like, I'll read you a book. And then there's a guy that falls asleep, and Joe Mantegna.
Do they have a heavy Italian accent like that?
Yeah, very New Yorker. And it's like, I'm going to read you a book, baby.
Black leather flying
baby
around.
Baby Binky, what the town? And it's like, it's really funny. He sings Mary Had a Little Lamb to them.
It's Joe Mantegna?
And he's like, Mary had.
Is Joe Mantegna the guy doing it?
No, it's the Matrix guy.
Yeah.
Joe Mantegna is just in the background ironing his tank tops.
Yeah. Yeah. not too far off.
I think knowing the filmography of the other actors makes it this much better. Like, they had already done all of those
movies. Yeah, that's what it was. Yeah.
And they got together to steal a baby.
Yeah.
You may have seen him in Goodfellas, but you'll love him in Baby's Day.
He loved him in Godfather.
But as he's singing Mary Had a Little Lamb, he forgets the words, and he's just like, and then Mary went away. And then he's like getting louder and louder. It's such a funny scene.
And then he's like, baby, I know this book isn't real.
Yeah.
You know what I realized? Ignorance is bliss. Then there's like a harp playing.
Yeah. I was just marveling.
It's a Matrix thing.
Yeah.
I was marveling at the existence of 8 heads in a duffel bag today. Like, that was ever made.
Isn't that weird?
Like, someone went into a studio and they're like, I got an idea. Joe Pesci. All right, I'm listening. He's got a bag full of human heads. Just take the check. Like, obviously, this movie's gonna.
You had me at duffel bag.
Yeah. That was like the 90s.
What's the name of the movie?
I think that
you're
was
gonna love it.
That was the 90s where they went in a writer's room and just threw obscure things at a wall. We can make this work, guys.
What, does he like go to a gym with the heads? No, Mexico.
Yeah.
Why is he going to Mexico? I don't fucking know.
Give me some words and numbers. Let's make this happen.
Yeah.
That was probably right after My Cousin Vinny came out.
They're
like, this guy's funny.
The Super. Have you ever seen The Super with Joe Pesci and like Scottie Pippen's in it? It's like, what the fuck is happening?
Do you think he came in and he was initially like, I think it's 9 heads. No, that's too many.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to believe
that. 6 heads, does anybody care?
Eight is what we're doing.
Number.
7 is hacky.
What is the bit he just was like transporting him?
Yeah, he was proving the kills, basically. So he needed to have the heads with him. Like, heads? Like, fingerprints aren't going to suffice.
Yeah. Take a tooth. Like, put those in your pocket.
How about an old school Polaroid that comes out instantly so you know the body's fresh? You know?
Right. The guy's like, that might be ketchup.
Just licks his finger after touching the head. Yeah, it's blood.
Yeah.
I shouldn't have done that. That's gross.
When a man brings you 8 heads in a duffel bag, you should probably trust that it's 8 heads in a duffel bag.
You going to open it? No. No, I'm not. I'll believe you.
Yeah. Well, Patton Oswalt has a bit called Deathbed, the bed that eats people.
Yeah.
And just talking about how, like, doing, like, screenplays about, like, the most ridiculous shit ever. And he said that there was a guy that wrote Deathbed, the bed that eats people in the 70s. And he was like, and he fucking finished it.
So much better than Rape Stove.
Yeah.
That was his spinoff. But, like, the whole thing about, like, the guy missing his kids' basketball games and stuff because he has to stay late to work on Deathbed, the bed that eats people. And so, when my kid grows up, he's going to see it was all worth it.
When he watches
Deathbed.
The bed that eats people.
Oh, man.
Yeah. I was thinking, like, man, that's a lot of power for you to put words on a screen. Screen now. But put words on a screen, send it to another guy, and then be like, let's do this. And then they, like... Yeah, like you said, people run film stock and actors. And
like, who
green lights
this shit sometimes?
And I was like, man, that's power right there.
Yeah.
You go on, you go on Netflix, there are so many movies on there. You're like, what the fuck is this? Yeah. Like, how did this make it to Netflix?
Well, Netflix is the home of shit movies. Like,
it's insane.
Yeah. Remember when it first started? I was like, I don't know any of these movies.
Yeah. No, it's gotten so much worse.
Yeah. Now they're all produced by Netflix.
Well, that's what.
So it's like it never has existed, and then they're like they put it out there, and it's like good, bad, and it's like nah, not great.
They take credit for shit they clearly didn't produce. Like the start of the video will be like BBC presents, and it's like, but you back out to the menu, it's like Netflix originals. Like you're just putting your name on other people's homework.
Yeah,
like,
they bought it. They just bought it. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like something didn't get picked up, and they're like, nah, it's ours now.
Mine.
They did that with. Is that on Comedians and Cars Getting Coffee?
Yeah.
It was a Netflix original.
It was
on YouTube.
It was on Crackle.
It was on Crackle? I thought it was YouTube.
It was
Crackle
both.
It was?
It was YouTube first, then Crackle.
Because when it was on Crackle, they used to have to chase down, like...
The pirates?
The cars.
Oh.
they'd have to chase down, like, Honda, because it... Honda, or whatever it was. I don't remember. I think it was Honda. They'd be like... They'd be like, all right, where's that Honda? And they'd have to go find the car and be like, there's the Honda. And it'll be like, Honda. The car that you like.
Yeah.
All right.
What?
Moving right on. Yeah, it was weird.
Like, they did like many commercials in the middle of it.
Because Crackle like didn't. Yeah, because Crackle like didn't pay. I guess it was a free service for everybody. So
that's how they had to get it paid for, or like advertising.
Advertising.
Like, where is this Honda Accord 2017?
Yeah, right.
The ones on Netflix always have like nicer cars than that.
Yeah. No. But it was like they'd have to. They'd be driving the nice car, and then they'd have to like find whatever car company.
Oh yeah.
So weird.
So it's like so unnatural.
Yeah, and it's like we're driving this dope car. Let's go find this like Kia Soul. Like,
right, yeah.
There it is.
I was like, isn't he friend with Jay Leno? Like, doesn't Jay Leno have like 60 cars that he
drives?
Like,
he's got way more than that.
It really bothers me when there's people who aren't comics on the show. Like, it's comedians and cars getting coffee, and it'll be like, here's some actor, and it's like...
Here's Jennifer Lawrence.
And like, I'm like, what is going on here?
Yeah.
He had
say something funny.
No, I'm just saying.
Oh.
I was like,
that's really weird.
It's like, here's Joe Mantegna.
But they had, like, Larry David on there, and I don't think he ever did stand-up. He was just a writer.
I think he did stand-up.
He did. He didn't like doing it, though.
Yeah, he was at the comic strip for a little while, I think. I think that's where they met.
Oh, yeah, then he probably just
there is stories.
He went into the writing part of it and was like, I like this better.
Yeah.
How do you do just like berating audiences for me, like, this is funny. You guys don't get it, you pieces of shit. Like, I'm never doing this again. And he just leaves.
Still
forever.
Doesn't have a full head of hair. He's just bald with the mud flap.
This is boring.
Yeah. I just picture like Curb Your Enthusiasm on stage. Like just him and Curb just berating the audience.
What? So am I the asshole?
Oh, you order chicken wings? Fuck. Like, he just, like, I don't know, just going off on.
So I'm at this Chinese food restaurant, and some lady orders a fortune cookie. You don't order the fortune cookie. It comes with the meal, with the check.
You get it at the
end. Am I right?
Do you think with
start laughing.
Do you think with every punchline, he has, like, the befuddled look from Curb Your Enthusiasm?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just, like, shrugging.
And he just hits the soundboard. It's like, bum, bum, bum.
Bring up Jeff Garland's fat ass.
No, I
tell some jokes, you weeble wobble.
Do an episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm on stage.
Yeah, it's like a live act out. That'd be awesome.
It really would.
That sounds so bad, but at the same time, like I kind of want to watch that
Curb Your Enthusiasm on like Broadway would be. Awesome. Can you imagine that?
But it's like, I just have a feeling that we'd be watching something real, like the entire time they're actually fighting.
Oh, no, that's what a show was. It was just him writing about shit that pissed him off. And
but no, that's
like, it started with Seinfeld, and then.
But on the Broadway thing, it's him just getting pissed off and screaming.
No, no, no. These lights are all wrong. These lights are all wrong. And you're like,
is this the episode?
He's like, you need to laugh, people. You need to laugh more.
He just calls the producer from the back to yell at him. We had a deal. You're doing this to me on this stage?
Comes out with a headset on. They're like, is this real or is this part of the show? I'm so nervous. Yes. I think that's the whole point of it.
I think that's what would freak me out. I'd be like, what is that? Yeah. It's like not being able to wrap my mind around it.
It'd be like a train wreck, though. You can't not look at it, though. Yeah.
What would be the best is just like the fucking house go just turn up the lights. Like, I think this is over. You should put those lights back down.
You sit down. And you're like, why is Larry David yelling at me?
Yeah, lights down, a big applause, lights back up. He's like, it's not done. It's not done yet. It's not done. Don't clap yet.
Start playing music mid-set. Yeah.
And then like Wayne Fetterman just pops out, says one line, and then disappears. Like, what the fuck just happened? That's what he always does. He always has like one little line on shows.
Can you imagine if they just played music mid-set when someone was trying to tell jokes?
Yeah, it's happened a lot.
What an asshole. What a dipshit asshole thing to do to somebody that you like.
This is inside baseball at this point, but
Elijah
did it to Matt.
White side splitters.
Yeah.
In the main room. Let me just work the booth and just turn this up. The screen came down. No.
Just bash him in the head.
If there was a hook, there would have been a hook to just like grab me.
The Sandman just pulls you off stage like the Apollo.
Yeah, that's exactly how it felt. I'm just like, okay.
All right.
I feel like Cuba Gooding Jr. in that fucking speech where he just kept going on for too long and then they had to play the music.
It was so funny. Matt was like, I fucking hate you. And Elijah came over the last week. He's like, love you.
I was like, this isn't funny to anybody. And then you could just hear all the comics just cackling laughing. Because it was just the oh my God, that sucks. And I'm glad it's not me.
Yeah. It always happens to Matt.
Yeah. Anytime there's a really weird set that some guy goes up and goes off the rails, the next person they put up is me.
I forget if we talked about it. Like, the guy who was hosting at Sidesplitters the one time, and he introduced you, and he's like, well, enjoy this guy's set. I've never seen him before, but, like, if I don't kill myself before he's done, I'll be back.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that guy used to work there, too.
Yeah. He does the booth.
Yeah, it was great. It was good.
Like, that's such a good intro for you, Matt.
Yeah. There you go. He was like, well, I hope this next guy doesn't get cancer. And I'm like, what the fuck?
He like ran the mic so horribly. There was always random shit in between comics. And
Brad Fuckmore.
Yeah. Yeah, Brad Fartmore.
Yeah, you called him Fartmore.
Oh, my God. Really?
Yeah.
I brought him up at that weird open mic. I was like, I'm Fent Less. This guy, Brad Fent More, because he's better. Give it up.
Did he go up and he was so angry?
No. He was like, great. I loved it.
Make fun of my name?
Yeah.
I'll kill you.
I'll murder you.
He's usually a sweet guy, but that's the one thing that triggers him.
Don't make fun of my name.
Dude, that's an intro right there. I'm...
Matt Fentless.
What?
God. Yeah. Coming up.
No, no. Like Jander brought me up. He was like, "This next guy is the nicest guy you're ever gonna meet." That's it.
Oh my God. Yeah.
It's like I didn't say he was funny.
You know, exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's exactly.
That was a deliberate choice.
Yeah. A good one for you. I would say, coming next to the stage, me. I have yums. But this guy, he Williams. Matt Williams, everybody.
Perfect. Put him up. I'll be like, Shannon, John Jacobs, get the fuck off the stage. Matt Walker is going to introduce me.
Yeah, Matt's going to be the host now. I'm the host now.
You don't want Jacobs?
Just this one.
This next guy. You know him. You love him.
Folks, this next guy, you got a real treat. Gotta love John bringing up somebody he doesn't know.
I know, because it says the same thing for like every person he doesn't know.
You know him. You love him. We're like, we have no idea who this guy is.
It's his first time here, but you know him. You love him. It's like, just contradict yourself in 3 seconds on stage.
Oh, man.
You gotta love him. Ooh. All right, so comedy.
Improv.
Matt Walker. Improv.
Please.
That's... How long have you been doing improv?
I've been doing improv about 8 years.
Jesus Christ, that's all.
Yeah.
How'd you get into it, Matt Walker?
I got into it in college.
Which college?
Yeah, college, Eckerd College. We had this awesome group called Another Man's Trash. It was...
I like the name.
Yeah. Yeah, every time I say it, I'm like, yeah, whatever. And then I'm like, hey, that's actually pretty clever.
It's all about the name.
Yeah, it's all about... My favorite thing is they went up to the Chicago Improv Festival at one point, and Horatio Sands... One of the kids was like a very well-known pothead. Shout out, Thomas.
very well-known
pothead. Yeah. Very well-known pothead.
Very accomplished
pothead.
At the
time, pothead. At least. I don't know.
I was like, wait, he went to a festival? Yeah. And they're like, that guy right there.
I mean, walking around with a vape pen, oil and stuff before it was like
a thing,
the smart thing to do, you know? It's like, it doesn't smell. They were like, oh, what a genius thing.
They were like, Thomas, do you want some weed? He's like, yes, and they're like, improv too?
Yeah, basically, they smoked out Horatio Sands, and then Horatio Sands was like, I'm gonna name you guys. I'm going to rename you. This is my favorite improv name I've ever heard. It's the Incredible Yes Andersons. How great is that?
I love it.
Oh, I love it. Like Wes Anderson. Anyway,
yeah, Wes. Right. No, I got it.
But it was really cool because it was improv. Like, we didn't know improv, so we were learning it and teaching it and doing it all at once. And the feedback was crazy because our audiences at that school were like 400, like 500 people every show.
What the hell? It was insane.
We'd have once a month.
You were in Chicago. You weren't at what's this called?
Second City.
Yeah, you weren't at Second City, were you?
I wasn't. I was in L.A. Okay. But they just went up for the Chicago Improv Festival.
Okay, it was Second City. Sorry, I didn't mean it. No, it's all good.
We didn't know we had a Globetrotter.
I was like, damn! If you went to fucking Second City, dude, you should be on SNL right now because that's where like all those people go.
Well, it's cool. This group, like everybody that's on it, is either at Second City, Annoyance Theater, iOS. This one guy has a show up at Second City weekly called the Chill as Fuck Show. It's awesome. It's such a good show.
And this is the guy that was originally in your troupe, or
yeah, okay. I taught the weed guy. I taught him improv.
Improv.
I'm just like,
was
no,
the weed guy? Weed guy. The Chill as Fuck
different
guy.
Different weed guy.
Yeah, it was a different one. Yeah,
I would hope you do weed if you're doing the Chill as Fuck Show.
I would hope you do weed.
That's the only way to get in chill as fuck mode.
Yeah, exactly.
You have to.
How many pots can I take?
Yeah, how many pots do I ingest before I get chill as fuck?
No, but it was crazy because it was
the
like
entire show's on the couch.
That's how it used to start. They used to start in an apartment, and now they got this awesome set, like main stage. It's crazy, but. It was such a cool experience because you'd go up there and it was like you immediately know if something's funny that you do because one person laughs in an audience of 400. It's like, that was funny. I know what to do. Like, yeah. And then you just do that. And it's crazy because we didn't know what we were doing. Well, so we got to create it on our own.
And you guys are like, called Another Man's Trash?
Yeah, yeah.
But so, like, whenever you, so yeah, whenever you ask the audience for suggestions, you just scoff at whatever they say. You're just like, ugh.
That's the thing, though.
That's
like
trash.
Even, if it's funny, though, you don't get to use it again, do you? Like, it's gone. Lost to the ether.
Yeah, we don't have to worry about, like, well, if you film tightening them. It or anything.
No, but I mean, like, he never has, like, we run bits.
Oh, yeah.
But, like, he gets a laugh.
Into we versus
dude, that's
now.
Such... No, it's such a mental... like, that seems a lot lighter on the like the mental state of it. Because it's like, if you take a joke that you've been crafting for, like, six months and it fails, you're like, fuck, that hurts.
Yeah,
but
right?
If it's something you just threw out on the spot and it doesn't land, you're like, eh, fuck it, I just kind of did it in the moment.
You know? Oh, yeah. I saw some improv in D.C. They did not care that they weren't getting laughs.
Yeah, wow. Which is a big problem in improv. But
they were just doing it for each other. There was three troops.
I know. That's the one thing that really bugs me about improv that stand-up doesn't really have is this like home for mediocrity. Like stand-up always striving for this, you know, this perfect level of material.
There's plenty of hacks
stuff.
Out there.
Yeah, but it's like the goal is to always be better.
Oh,
you
yeah.
know? And in improv, it's like we're good enough. And it's like we can bomb. We can play in front of zero people. And being like... Let's do it.
Yeah.
We're having fun. And it's like, yeah, kind of, but it's also like, I kind of want to do this, you know?
No, I like that comfortability comedy. Of it because I was saying, like, on the way here, I was telling Matt Williams, I was like, dude, I was like,
me.
I was like, he's got...
Other Matt.
I was like, he's very comfortable on stage, and I'm jealous of that because you've been doing it so long. You're like, if this bombs, I don't care. You
Matt
know?
Number two.
It is that kind of thing, and it's like
where it's like I've been writing this all week, and then it bombs. I'm like, fuck! I hate all of you. I want to kill myself. You know what I mean?
But I think to
with Matt, a smile, with a smile. Yeah. But it's just like
I think to Matt's point though, like the whole thing is you want to put on because you realize this is people's whole night is coming out to watch either improv or stand up or music or whatever, and like you want to put on the best show possible, and like some people are just like, yeah, I'm just gonna go out there, and it's like,
yeah.
Like, but, get it. Those people are giving you their night. Strive for, like, you know what I mean? At least try to be good while we're here.
Yeah, exactly. And, I mean, they're great. I'm not saying they're all bad or anything. But in the other thing that helps with doing the improv and the stand-up is, like...
Baby's
like,
day
you're
out.
Saying almost, yeah, the baby's day out. Is it's like the...
it goes to
the
all
comfortability
things.
I got to work on separate of the material.
Yeah.
Whereas the comfortability is intertwined with the material for stand-up. So it's like... You have to work on two things that are kind of mountains to get over. Where I've been doing it for
you already have
years,
the comfortability
like,
of the freedom to fail. Yeah. You don't. It's not going to bother you as much.
And it's much more comfortable being up there. And it's fast, and it allows me to do bits like that where I'm like, I honestly don't know what's going to happen.
Do you ever want to keep, like, because you do both, do you ever want to keep stuff that went well in improv and use it in your stand-up?
You know, I haven't yet.
Yeah, but like Steven said, if it's gone to the ethos, you can just be like, well, I might want to pull this back, put it in my pocket.
I've done improv into sketch comedy before.
Okay.
Because it's more scenic, I guess.
Yeah.
But the show that we're doing on the 20th at the Ross Studio is a comedy blend that we're doing. Mm-hmm. We're at John Jacobs and Natasha on, and we're doing stand-up. And then we're doing improv based off their stand-up sets.
Oh, shit, so you're going to, like, improv their bits?
Yeah.
Oh,
and it's
God.
Really cool in that way for both of us, because, like, in improv, honestly, like, this is written material that you guys, like, is funny, you know?
Yeah.
So we're like, all right, well.
So it's pretty much not improv. It's
how do we make something funny?
So it's like
funny.
You're doing sketches?
Well, yeah, it's kind of like there's this form, long form in improv called the Armando, where you get a monologist and they give a monologue and then you do whatever. You pull stuff from that monologue.
So it's like SNL. That's what it sounds like.
Like, do you know UCB at all? Upright Citizens Brigade?
I've heard of their work.
I've never done the format. I don't know. I've never done improv and I don't know much about it.
Man.
You know?
You dig it. but
heard all about that ass cat.
Yeah, the ass cat. That's the monologist
form,
and it'll be like you kind of find the bits within the monologue,
okay.
And you kind of pull them out, and you're like, how do I make this into a full fledged 1-2-3 beat it out like patterned thing?
Got it.
And that's kind of what we do. Like this one of the comics. Ward Smith had this great joke about his dad being a newscaster or whatever, and it's very stern or whatever all the time. I'm not going to burn his material. but we were like, all right, he went like way in depth with it. So we're like, how are we going to finagle this? And basically, you think of all these different ways to go through a stand-up's material, and it's cool for the stand-ups because they get to see it like
played out.
Oh,
yeah.
That's another, another thing that I didn't think of. Because I don't have the freedom to just like wing it like that.
Yeah,
right.
It's really fun. It's a
I love
fun
going
show.
Off the cuff on stage. It's fun. Like it Mondays at Dunedin have the bucket, so I'll just pull the bucket out and I'll just be like, man, what can I make this funny into? You know what I mean? So it's kind of like
a bucket.
Yeah, Dunedin on Mondays they have the bucket. It's called, and like the audience writes down like a word or
it's
a topic.
Like topics and stuff.
Yeah,
oh, that sounds awesome.
During your set, you can pull it out and read it, and then try to make it funny. So I like doing that because it kind of strengthens that in the moment, off the cuff.
Yeah, but they're usually really stupid.
Like, yeah,
it's like dildo. Richard Gere hamster and butt, and you're like.
Or it's always like Trump, or like the last one was like Stormy, whatever the fuck, Daniels, I think her name was. I was like, you pull that out like six times because people are just, oh, this is hot in the media
hot
right
topic.
Now.
Yeah. Let's what would Stephen Colbert away. Say about this?
Oh my God.
Yeah, and you're like, oh, God, okay, God.
Yeah, when we did improv in college, we'd always get this one. Because how we took suggestions is we'd have them write them down before the show and put them in a big trash can.
Yeah,
and then
that's basically what they do at Dunedin.
Yeah,
you should go to Dunedin.
Oh yeah, that is exactly what that is. But then we
you
just
should just
do
the bucket the whole time.
yeah, it's It's fun. We'd, like, we'd start taking.
We've got
them out
Matt Walker,
pockets.
Improv champion, in the house. He's gonna just crack his knuckles, just go right into the bucket.
Oh, I don't know. So Matt Walker did all the buckets.
Oh, that would be so fun. I want
to
do that now.
Yeah,
you should go out tomorrow.
I would. The Monday night. Well, actually, I close
you got a wiffle
Monday
ball
nights,
tournament.
Actually,
yeah. Gotta drive Johnny to wiffle ball.
Wiffle ball league is Monday night. I have to be there.
They need me. The trophy needs me. no, I actually close that night now. I used to go to improv on Monday nights too, so it's kind of like our group rehearsal or whatever. But
what group are you with?
The Third Thought.
Okay.
We're the longest running long form improv team.
What about God Jokes? I thought they were longer. Or they're not long form.
Long, yeah, they're short form, yeah. Mm. Yeah, they just had a good sellout or something at their show or something like that.
Yeah, something with the anniversary
That's
or
awesome.
Something.
Yeah. It's good to see
that. They haven't anything for more than like 5 years is incredible. Then once you start to get, you're like, we've done this for a decade.
Yeah.
Especially in comedy, yeah.
Oof. Yeah.
I think Dunedin Mike's the longest running open mic in the area.
That's awesome.
How long has it been around?
5 or 6 years, maybe.
Okay, in maybe, this area it is,
yeah. Maybe 7, I'm not sure, but...
Because I know other bar just hit 8 or 9 years in Orlando.
Yeah, that's, that's incredible to have an open mic running that. Yeah, it's like a nightmare to try to run. Like,
most
getting
bars.
Getting it going, then two, getting people coming in, like,
getting people to stay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Getting the venue to be like, we're going to support this.
Yeah, well, the owner will hear something, I don't like that, so then they just want to get rid of it, and it's like...
Yeah.
That kind of defeats the purpose of ever hosting comedy.
But that's the thing about open mics, because it's like, dude, that's 25 to 30 comics that you would never have in this place normally. Not never, but... You know what I mean? That's still bodies. And then they bring family or friends, and they're drinking, and they're eating. So it's like you're getting business. I don't understand how people always, businesses hate it.
I love
it.
Let's
just throw a karaoke machine in there. It's like, fuck you, that's so boring. So you can listen to fucking Stephanie fumble the words to fucking Living on a Prayer.
Yeah. You don't like seeing bad comedy? Well, how about bad singing?
Exactly. And it's the same songs over and over again.
It could just be a trivia night, and someone could argue with the host for 15 fucking minutes about how he misinterpreted their answer.
Yeah, I was living in Atlanta. Dude, I was living in Atlanta when that shit took off, and like every bar was doing trivia, and I hated it. I go in there, and everyone's like, we're this team, we're this team.
We're the Queef Willows. It's like, I'm just going to leave.
I think the best one I heard was...
I don't need your enchiladas tonight, I'm just going to go.
I think the best one I heard was Lieutenant Dan's Magic Legs.
That's a good name.
It's not bad.
And I always say that those trivia crowds that come into those businesses, they're not loyal to your business.
No.
If you weren't doing trivia, they wouldn't be there.
They're only loyal to trivia.
Yeah, they really are.
I follow this host.
Yeah. Loyal to the questions.
Onward! Rally the troops for trivia.
Like, these groups will be like, oh, well, this is our Wednesday one, and then we go to Thursday this place. And
crazy, dude. Because they fall around a lot of times the same person that hosts it, and of course, they do it different nights at different bars.
Yeah
my
so
ex-wife
they have, like,
loved
their
doing
following.
That.
It's crazy.
It's so weird.
Ew.
Yeah, ex-wife loved doing that. There's a reason for that.
I did it once, and I remember this, because I got
into
an argument. I was with like three or four.
We're the Queef Pillows. There's a big difference.
Tiffany wrote it wrong again. Off the team.
That's what it was. They were super serious, and they were all college kids, and they were all going to like Georgia State and for like law and shit like that.
They're really intensely fighting for a $20 gift card to a venue they don't give a shit about.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. And one of the questions they argued with me on, it was, what is this, it was like a picture one, like, what is this guy's name? He's a comedian, and he's in Half-Baked as the man on the couch. He's like, Half-Baked, the man on the couch is not the correct answer. It was Stephen Wright.
Yeah.
And I said that, and they're like, no, that's not his name, it's not his name. And I'm like, I will fight all of you right now. That is his fucking name.
And David took his shirt off, and they're like, all right, you win.
Yeah.
You win.
I flipped the table.
They're like, it's Dave Chappelle.
Yeah.
I swear.
I don't remember what they said, but they said something else. I'm like, dude, that's not him. I was like, trust me. I was like, I don't know a lot of this college shit or all these educated questions,
I know
for a fact that this is Stephen Wright.
Give me this.
Yeah.
They're like, it's Hannibal Buress.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah. They're like, Hannibal Buress is not a Santa
Fe. Hey, man, I'm just going to sleep on your couch, man.
But, like, no, they hate because, cool. Like, it was crazy.
What month is it?
It was on Wednesday. They did it on Wednesday, and one of the other teams was like all these like like teachers, like some were high school, I think some were college. And then there's all these college kids that would like try to beat the group of teachers. It was like this funny, fun, silly thing, and I'm like, I hate all of you.
Well, they could be like it was funny for the most part.
What, improv? Well, not improv.
trivia. Like, yeah, some of the trivia nights are like, or like they can be fun, but if like that is your thing,
are you?
It's another one.
You're not talking about improv.
Improv.
No, like, yeah, that's right. Your night out, and it's like, we're going to go do the trivia.
It's, yeah, it's like, we're going to get mozzarella sticks, and we're going to say some
two
silly.
Margaritas, are you crazy?
If we don't know
we're
the answer,
we're going nuts tonight.
We're going to say something silly.
Cynthia, like, are you trying to break up your marriage with those margaritas? Yeah.
Limit yourself to one for now. We don't know if we want.
Right, yeah, exactly.
We're going to need that gift card.
You can't use tonight's winnings on this tab.
You got to come back.
Yeah,
please come back. We're losing business.
Yeah.
We need it.
Oh yeah, that was the worst.
So, like,
thing.
I think the teacher's team name was something like Short Bus or something. I was like,
oh my
Jesus
God,
Christ!
I know they're always so.
It was some. It was some schooly. It was something like something
Queef
to do with
Willows
school.
Is a great
yeah,
made up one.
Was great
Short Bus. It's like RRs. You know.
Yeah.
You know. God.
Yeah, it's like the KK Clan of Fancy, and you're like, oh
God. Oh God!
It's hard to even think of bad trivia names, like unless you're around those people.
Yeah,
and then you
like,
just hear them, and you're
like
that's,
another
that's
man's
terrible.
Trash.
It's not a trivia name.
Yeah,
improv names are pretty awful.
Improv trivia, same thing. Yes.
Was that what was it? Was it?
Yeah. This is the correlation is absurd.
Yeah, what was it?
improv
pegged on the basis. Is that was the other
yep. Yep. Being pegged for the from between the bases. You can only get pegged between the bases, guys.
Taking it all the way to the shortstop.
Yep.
I get it.
That's rounding second. You're going deep.
Nice. Wait, so David, you ran a trivia night?
No. Oh. Like
you had to host it.
No, I wish that'd be fun. I would just do really obscure shit that no one would know.
Yeah.
Just to fuck with the audience. Like, they would get really mad.
You should ask about Lord
what?
Chesterfield.
Yeah. Lord Chesterfield. No. Just random shit like that, though. But, like, some of them were really hard. But it was always, like, the one night that I went with my, like, friends or whatever. When I met in Atlanta because I worked with one of the guys. And he was working and going to school. And he was going to go to law school after Georgia State. So he was like, we're doing trivia tonight, because it was like a new thing, so it was taking off. And I was like, yeah, we're all these college kids, we get together, and we go up against like these teachers and shit. So it was all like these really smart fucking questions that I had no idea about, but that one I knew, so I was like real adamant about it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I just imagine David like angrily snapping pencils, like, yeah. You dumb smart shit.
whenever like question about like cartoons or South Park or Simpsons happens, I'm like, give me the paper.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Exactly. Like, you know that, like, that's your wheelhouse. So, yeah. Like, me, nothing was in my wheelhouse. But then, like, they showed a picture of Stephen Wright, and I'm like, dude, I know who this is. And then all these fucking people were arguing with me. I'm like, no. You know everything else in here, but I promise you. And, like, I think the teachers got it wrong, too, or the college people. They didn't even know who he was. Because
that's what I love is the diplomacy of the trivia team, where you always have to, like, you have to convince them that you're right on this.
Yeah. You always have to defer to the one head guy. Like, oh, does he approve of this? Like, no, fuck that guy. No. Like,
and there's always someone who's really adamant about it. And then when they're wrong, just everyone just, like, stares daggers at them.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Oh, that's what I had down. Yeah. I'm that guy every time.
Or like,
I'm like, no, it's definitely this. You guys.
Or like the person who changes the answer after everyone agreed on the answer and they hand it in. Yeah. They're like, yeah, we got it, right? And they look at her and it's like, what do you mean you changed it?
So trivia is big around here? Trivia night and stuff?
Oh, yeah.
That's big.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they're always trying to get people to work them if you wanted to do that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Do you have to come up with your own questions?
Depends on the organization.
Oh, okay.
The trivia league.
That's what I'm saying, because I know like a lot of stupid, obscure facts, so like I could throw those in there.
I think they're the ones that I've been to, they're all written. Mm-hmm. For them, because there's like
they have themed ones, where it's like where this is only 80s music, and you have to like you know
David's 50th question about darts.
Yeah, exactly.
They're like, I'm never playing trivia here again. He's like, exactly. That's my plan.
The theater I worked at, they did Stonecutters trivia. The Simpsons. Oh,
right.
That was so. They play. Who wins every episodes? Oscar night?
Yeah, it's like the answer to all of them is we do.
It was so fun. They got Matt Groening in there one time. Like
what?
Yeah, they got because it was in L.A. and it was like they'd get everybody who worked on Simpsons.
Oh, that's fucking crazy.
All right.
I love it.
So it's Baby's Day Out, you guys.
You got any plugs there, Matt Walker?
Yeah, I do. That Comedy Blend show on the 20th, that's at 8 at the Raw Studios in St. Pete. It's kind of this it's like a warehouse kind of thing, but it's kind of artsy.
Ooh.
It's cool. Mm-hmm. It's cool. Cool.
It's like Comatic? Do you remember Comatic in St. Pete?
Where was it? It's in the warehouse.
It's the warehouse district. Yeah.
It's over in that area.
It's in that same area? Okay.
Yeah. It might be.
How much does it cost?
I think online it's between... I honestly don't remember because we've been adjusting the prices. I think it's 13 online and then day of 15.
Okay.
So get it now, guys, because it could go up to $20 online.
Yeah, you never know.
So buy now.
I'm also, I just got booked on a Snapper showcase on the 25th at 8. Yeah. I host a improv show at Black Crow Coffee called The Murder of Shows.
Oh.
Instead of Murder of Crows.
I get it.
Yeah, nice. Duo trio night.
Nice. Are they ever going to do a stand-up night again?
I don't know.
Is that the one next to the pizza place down the same
pizza? Yeah.
Yeah, Will used to live over there. Will Coons used to live like right across the street in his apartments. Yeah.
Yeah, I can't remember who hosted that one?
There was some lady. I can't remember her fucking name.
Because
was it Raven?
No, some lady who used to be on HSN.
Come on, Lauren Hubbard or Helen Keeney?
Helen Keeney,
Helen
yeah.
Keeney, yeah.
Yeah, she hosted like once and was like, oh, maybe it'll be every other month. Never again.
Never again, yeah.
That place is great. Because I have come to the owner of that place so many times, Dina, and just been like, hey, can I do this? And she'll be like, absolutely.
Yeah.
Like, no no's. She's like, well, listen, we don't have any music in our budget for that night, but you can come play.
That's awesome. Like, cool. Man. It's always good when like a place like supports the arts, you know what I mean?
Well, and it's, I'm getting really business-minded because... I think the improv
got your mind on your money
are way too expensive, and everything's way too expensive for shows and whatnot. So I'm always like, all you got to do is just have people do this shit, and then they become the customers.
Yeah,
because they want to come and support that shit. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's a cool show. The Murder of Shows. This is the fourth one we've done so far.
Nice.
It's actually been really good every time. So I'm very impressed. I'm very glad, and it's nice to be producing it because I can vet it where I need to.
It's better than producing and directing Baby's Day Out. So
nothing's better than that.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Nothing was I'm or sorry. Ever yeah. will be.
Nothing.
What won Best Movie last year? This year?
Baby's Day Out.
Yes.
It wins it every year. Every year.
It's on my bracket.
the Shape of Baby.
I think one year there was a Slave movie that won.
Yep.
And then after that, they're like, all right, we're back to the babies.
It was a baby slave.
It was just a slave to his rich spoils and society and woes. Oh, it's so hard being rich and constantly getting kidnapped for ransoms.
I'm the bourgeois, baby.
Yeah. By three sweaty Italians.
Here's
fucking moolies.
Jesus. My long cigarette.
So what do you got, D-dubs?
Oh, me? Yeah, hey. April 20th, hey. Unfortunately, is the same day as Matt's show. You can go to either one, though.
What you got?
Holiday, Florida. So it's probably going to be two different crowds.
Yeah.
So Holiday, Florida at Brennan's. I'll be doing a guest set there.
Cool. With the 420 show, right?
Yeah, 420,
baby. I thought it was a showcase this month.
I don't know what it is.
I think it's a showcase.
There it is. I'm showcasing.
Well, you're going to show out.
Yeah.
How far away is Holiday?
Show up and shell out.
It's not too bad, right?
Is that
about
north
an hour
of you?
Or something?
No, that's south of me. Mm. Well, it's actually, we kind of live like,
for
right,
us, it's
like
15.
East. Or west of us.
Oh, it's not bad.
Yeah.
Wait, what? Where do you live?
We live in Pasco. We live in Newport Richey.
Trinity.
Oh, okay.
Trinity, yeah. We get fancy with it. We live where the babies would be kidnapped.
Yeah.
And then it'd be taken to Holiday for ransom.
Right, yeah. That's the perfect explanation, actually.
Yeah. Nailed it. Can we just put everything in Baby's Day Out terms for Matt Walker?
I'm okay with that.
That's pretty much it. That's all I got. So, yeah. Maddie, what you got?
April 11th, O'Brien's.
In Brandon.
In Brandon.
What day?
The 11th.
The day this comes out.
Yeah. The day. So go see Maddie tonight, people. Steven.
Yeah, I'm going to also be there.
And Steven.
Oh, yeah.
How is that? Roger invited me to do that.
Really?
Oh,
Roger and Zach.
Yeah. Not to do it. He was like, just hit me up if you ever want to.
Oh. I didn't know you knew Roger. Oh, yeah. You were on the show that one time.
Yeah, the FUBAR Weekly one.
Yeah, I mean, this is basically the same thing.
Yeah.
I 100%.
He goes, it's BYOB, and I just stopped into a little corner store or whatever, and I brought little tiny Bud Light bottles, and I had his guest host, Chad, open them all for me.
Yeah.
I kept... And they did, like, they gave me, like, oh, you can't open them or whatever. And I could open them. I just thought it was really funny that I would literally just hand them to him and he'd pop them without even, like, saying anything. it was beautiful.
Yeah, Chadwick was amazing. It was crazy how smart that guy was.
Yeah.
And, like, how he was, like again, like, Roger was mostly talking about, like, sports and shit like that. And then I would go off topic of something else and Chad would be like, yeah, totally. It's like this. And I was like, yeah, you're totally right. What the hell? How do you know that? Then he could also go off on like stats on basketball and shit. I could see Chad. His name is Chadwick.
Yeah. Wait, so is Chadwick like their version of me? Is that what you're saying?
Well, he never opened a beer for me. Awesome. But just seeing Matt just casually hand him a beer to open for him.
Did you see it? Like, no, you watched the video?
No,
I'm gonna watch.
Why would I watch Roger Nelson?
It was a fun time.
Yeah, but no, it's so funny because it's like so ingrained into his thing. He's like, "Oh, a beer!" So he just opens it out of reaction and gives it back to him.
Exactly. Yeah,
these little tiny bears. What do you have, Steven?
Well, I'm gonna be on the show with Matt.
O'Brien's on the 11th.
Oh. Yeah, it's gonna be me, Matt, John Selman, Katie Style, some guy from New York, Michael Harrison. And then I'm going to be... On, yeah. Huh?
Never mind.
Go ahead.
He was on Queer as Fuck, right?
Queer as Fuck? What? Is that a thing? That's what
all Queer as Folk.
Yeah, that was like one of his credits.
Wow. All right, and so my other thing is...
Killed with the Matt Walker demo.
The Matt Walker demo? Yeah, that's what you want.
Yep.
And then that Sunday, I'll be featuring at Steep Station, so I'll be doing 30 minutes, and nobody will like me like always. So that's
yay! Fun.
How is that, Mike?
It's awesome. You should do it. Yeah, Matt's going to do it tonight.
You are?
I'll let you know how it goes.
Yeah. They're very supportive, and you can do music there if you want.
The pictures he takes and stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah, you connected me with
him. He used to run Kymatic. That's what I was saying.
Oh, he did?
He used to, yeah. Well, I don't think he owned the building, but he used to run the show. He would always do music up front, and then he'd have comedians, and then music at the end again. So. Yeah, he's very heavy in the arts.
So, I mean, at this point, I'm basically doing every single joke I have to fill 30 minutes.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, it's a 30-minute set.
Yeah, it's a feature set.
Nice.
So,
there you go.
Come on out and watch it. It's fucking free, you animals.
Man. Wait, where is Steep Station?
Steep Station's on Central and, like, 28th.
Oh, okay.
In St. Pete.
Okay.
They don't have alcohol, so, I mean, if you're going to come, just get drunk ahead of time and just drive on. No, don't, but...
just, there'll be a lot of teabagging.
I get it.
Yeah. Yeah, they got Kratom Kava, all sorts of shit. It's fun. Nice. Come on out.
Cool.
Bye. Wait.